been discussing over the month, the Amazing Bible, okay? And so this is the last in this series called the Amazing Bible. And if you noted, this video that was up there is from the Gospel Project, and they produce videos online, and that's where I got that one. And you can go to the Gospel Project and learn a lot about the Bible, by the way. You're especially going to learn that the Bible is expressing the good news or the gospel about Jesus Christ. That's the storyline through the Bible. In fact, in our first Sunday this month, we talked about the Bible is like a love story from God to us. And it is also a search and rescue story in that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And it tells about that all the way through the Bible. There's this thread of that salvation story or narrative. And so then we talked about how the Bible is true, that if you don't trust it, you don't think it's reliable, you need to go and dig in and find out why people do consider it to be very reliable. I had to go through that myself to determine if this book was really what it said it was, the very Word of God. And it transformed me, and I've lived the last, you know, some 40 years by the Bible, in that sense of understanding, trying to understand life through the construct of what the content of this says. So, very exciting. Last week, if you're here, Kyle has shared this really cool thing, a tool that we use to help us understand what's in the Bible called coma. And he kind of said, this is to help you not get into a coma if you're trying to read the Bible, which was really good. But the C stands for, any of you remember? Context, good. And the O stand for observation, very good. And the M, eventually you want to get the meaning. And the A, you want to be able to apply it. And so just using that as a little hack or so as we read the Bible can be really helpful to us. Today I want us to talk about something else. And I want us to start with something that I grew up reciting. And that was a prayer that Jesus gave as kind of a model or an example prayer for his disciples. Because his disciples looked at Jesus and how he would be a prayer warrior. They wanted to be like that. How? Teach us to pray. And I remember in my first, 20 years of life, but I can only remember, after I was maybe age 6 or so, I remember reciting this prayer over and over and over, hundreds of times, and I was thinking, well, could it be as many as 1,000 times? Perhaps, but anyway, up through age 18 or so, I would recite this prayer rote, and we're just going to look at the first part of it. You might even want to, if you want to, I think it'll be on the screen, you can recite it with me. And here's how it goes. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the prayer goes on, but I just want to stop there. And I've emphasized, and you can see my emphasis, I'm always going to underline it. That's not in the Bible, the emphasis, but it's what I want us to kind of understand and point out. So, thy will be done, or your will be done, were words that I said over and over and over again, but they never really connected to me till later on. Now, this idea of God's will, it means like his intentions, his desire, we might say. It could be his purpose. He wants some things to get done on earth like it does in heaven, is how I understand it. And maybe it's connected to the kingdom coming, the kingdom which is represented right here in a church, a local church, as well as other churches around the world. The kingdom come. Thy or your will be done. Jesus places it in this upfront way in this prayer, like we should be praying for God's will to be done, right? And so that would be a good prayer, to pray for God's will to be done in my personal life, God's will to be done in the life of my family, and the life of an inmate individually share. I want God's will to be done, and so would we. God encourages us to pray that way. But think about it. Jesus had a final prayer the night before he was crucified. It was a Thursday night, and this was a heavy-duty prayer, and he prayed some words, and let's put them up on the screen here. He said, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Now, let's pause there and say, what was that cup? The cup was a cup of suffering and death. He knew that's what was going to come. May this cup be taken from me. Because he didn't want to go through that. Who wants to, right? Yet, not as I will, but as you will. It was God's will that Jesus would die on the cross for the sin of the world. That's God's will. That's his desire. Because that's the only plan that could save humanity, save people, save you and me, is that Jesus would die on behalf of the people as an offering for sin, as a payment for the debt of sin or the penalty of the judgment of our sin. Jesus took that on himself. And so the Bible says he was the Lamb of God, or the offering of God, from God, who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus sacrificed 2,000 years ago. So remember, takes away our sin today. And it applies to us when we trust in that sacrifice called faith. Okay? And so that's this idea. I don't trust in my own good works. There's a few of them. And there's some other bad works or sins. And there's a bunch of them. And so I don't trust in that. I trust in what Jesus did for me. And that's what salvation is. So that if I died today, I would wake up in heaven, so to speak. I got another life. When judgment day comes, Jesus is my advocate. He says he's okay to go through. I've died for him. I paid his penalty of sin. And he trusted in that. We have a relationship. So he can go. That's this incredible understanding. I'm so thankful, aren't you, that it wasn't Jesus' will, not as I will. He didn't want to face all of that necessarily, but as you will. And so he made the decision to, according to the will of God. Okay? I want to talk about the will of God today. In my early 20s, some of you know a little bit of my story, but in my early 20s, I was going through what I kind of call a second awakening. I had an early awakening where I was kind of confirmed and I understood some things about God and I understood Jesus and I understood some of the basics about the faith. But my faith was a ritual. It wasn't like a connection, a deep connection to a personal God like it is today. Well, I went through this time where I got to know Jesus more than I ever had in my life. It was great. It was euphoric. I got to understand God's love for me like I never had before. Like he really does care about me. By the way, he cares about you deeply. And I started to really grasp and grab onto this understanding of an experiential knowledge of Jesus. And the idea that kind of God's will is that I make him known, that I do that too, and we do it together. That's important. That's part of the will of God. I got to grasp that. But what was driving me at that time in my life is I wanted to know, what's the will of God for me, for my life? What's the will of God for my life? After I got to know, I was kind of overcome by, boy, there really is a God. I got to understand a little bit more about it. This is a big deal because life, where we came from, who we are, where we're going, those big questions matter. Getting that figured out was important at that stage in my life, that I get that done. And so what it did, it propelled me to Bible college. Why? Here's what I found. The will of God largely is contained in the Word of God. God reveals himself, we understand, in three ways. Through the general creation in which he's made. So there's a sense of our knowledge of God by which he's created. The design of creation demands a designer, some say. Okay, so I know something about God. He's creative, he's big, he's made the universe, wow, he's powerful. There's a number of things I can know about God that way. And then there's this idea that there's this inner moral rudder we have. Some call it the moral law within. That in humans, we have this inner law, we might say. That we kind of have a sense of rights and wrongs between people, for example, intuitively. So there's a sense of that there's a revelation of God within each of us, too. Okay, that's one, general revelation, inner revelation. Then there's this idea of the very special revelation we call or specific revelation or verbal revelation, what's been put down in Scripture, originally orally transmitted, and then put down in the Bible, what we have today. This is God's revelation. It's very special and specific to us. This contains things that he would say to us, to our minds, to communicate to us. This says what he wants, what he desires, that helps us to figure out life, answer the big questions. It's awesome. We're calling it this month amazing because it reveals that. See, I got hungry and thirsty for this stuff. So much so that a church like this couldn't give it to me. The download speeds at that time were just not, you know, there just wasn't enough bandwidth to download into what this guy was hungry for and willing to take in. But there was a Bible college. They had Bible college classes, and I arranged it with my boss at the time to go to Bible college 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. And he let me do it. Tim Ross is doing that right now, by the way. And I got downloaded big bandwidth, high speed Word of God, will of God. Follow me? The Word of God contains the will of God that got downloaded into me over a period. I did not go to Bible college to do this. I was not doing that. That wasn't my will. If you come next week, I'll tell you a little bit about my will at age 20. My will at age 20 was to become a multimillionaire, independently wealthy by age 30. Now, that's come and gone. I know some of you think I'm young and I could be under 30, couldn't I? Come on. Thank you. Way past that. But anyway, that was my dream. That was my will. That was my desire. I went over the edge in this, and I was really greedy for what I wanted. I wasn't just ambitious. I was selfishly ambitious. I love ambition. I hope you're an ambitious person. I think God wants you to be ambitious, but he doesn't want you to be selfishly ambitious. Well, that's where I was, and I'll tell you more about that next week, how God changed me from that perspective to a whole different one. And after a couple years in Bible college, I got bit. In other words, felt called to go and do this, even vocationally, full time. Funny, I was telling somebody, I forget who it was, but I was in sales, and so I was working alongside this other guy. He was a Jewish guy, cool guy, he's still a friend of mine, Frank, and we were both doing really well in sales, you know, it was good money. And he said to me, he says, Dave, because I was telling him, I was doing this transformation, I got to go to the ministry. He says, well, how much do they make in the ministry, Dave? Well, he says, you need to try to live on that compared to what you're living on now for 2 or 3 months so that you can kind of really grasp the differences in what you're going to do. Because it was still for me the will of God that I wanted to go in. And do. It was like, when you know you're following God and you know it's true and you're in good relationship with God, there's nothing that can beat that on the earth. Friends, nothing. What comes close to it is a great marriage. What comes close to it is good relationships with their kids, right? Or, you know, good relationships in life. But the relationship with God is our ultimate relationship. And it'll inform every other relationship in our lives. It really will. And I'm older than 20-something. And it's worked out well in my life. So I give God the credit and the honor and the glory for that. So that personal pursuit was there. Because knowing the will of God matters. And I want you to invite you to take this little handout that I have at the tables. Because these scriptures won't be up here. And look with me at what these share here. Some scriptures from the Bible about the will of God. Note with me 1 John 2, verse 17. And what my goal is here is to show us how important the will of God is that's contained in the amazing Bible. The world and its desires pass away, it says there. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Would you just say the underlying part with me? Whoever does the will of God lives forever. Those are pretty powerful words. They were to me. I started to recognize the will of God and how important it was for me in my life. Wow. Therefore, reading the next scripture out of 1 Peter 2, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. And this was written to people who were going through some suffering. If you read the letters to Peter that Peter wrote, you'll see that. So he's dealing with this. Because whoever suffers in his body is done with sin. So if we're willing to suffer persecution for the sake of Christ or out of our faith, likely we're going to be able to handle sinful stuff in our lives better. Okay, that's how I understand this. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Hebrews 10, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what was promised. So the will of God, honoring God with our lives according to his desires, will take some endurance and perseverance in our lives, is what I understand by that. But it's worth it. Because there's a promise, there's a reward, there's something after that that we will receive. Ephesians 6 and verse 6, obey them not only to win their favor, so this is like the bond slave at the time, the one who's the indentured servant, so don't just, you know, try to get by. When their eye is on you, you do well. When their eye's not on you, you slough off. But as like you're a slave or a bond servant of Jesus. Because he really does own us in the sense that he bought us, paid for us with a price, the blood of Christ. We really belong to him. He is our true master. And so do the will of God from the heart. Do the will of God from the heart. Don't get into this like, this is really important to do for my life, to honor God so it's sincere, authentic, and real. Colossians, of Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature, fully assured. Stand firm in all the will of God. Look at Matthew 7. These are Jesus' words now. Look at Jesus' words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This is pretty powerful. Look what he says. He's got to bring clarity to this, Jesus does. But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And so our faith in following Jesus is always followed by obedience. Our faith is not disconnected from conduct. What we trust in, we will do. When we trust in who Jesus is, we will actually follow Jesus. But there are those that would just claim Jesus as card-carrying members of his family only, as his followers only. I'm a fan, but I'm not a follower. I'm a fan of Jesus, but I'm not a follower. We want to be followers, which means we actually follow, we do the will of the Father who is in heaven. And then 1 Thessalonians, this is a specific will that God, over in the Bible several times you'll see this. It is God's will that you should be sanctified or made holy or set apart. In other words, you live a life that's different than that which would be against God's will. That you should, and he makes it specific, avoid sexual immorality. So God has a will or a desire, not just a desire, but a design for our sexual expression. He made us sexual beings. And this is an incredible gift from God. Sex is the most amazing thing, I think, on earth. So that's what God designed and wants and desires us to express inside of the boundaries of his will. And so those are expressed in the Bible. And therefore, our benefit, of course. Last one. Look at this one. Rejoice always. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? It's my wife. Sometimes this is a challenging one to me. I joy all the time, you know. So, but if there's a deep-seated joy, it's not based on just a happening of life or an event. It's a deep-seated, it is well with my soul. That kind of an inner joy that's there about life because we're connected to a God that oversees all of life. Pray continually. And obviously that means on a regular basis. Obviously you're not going to, pray when you're sleeping or something like that, obviously. But pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is, look what it says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just love some of those. Those are for you to take home. kind of look at further. But I want to go on here and again reaffirm that the will of God for our lives is for the most part, largest part, contained in the Word of God. It's contained in the Bible. And so in the Bible we have this scripture, let me give it to you, Colossians 1. I think it's on the back side of your notes. Look what it says. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So there's a reason for this. What does the will of God do for us? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Wow. As we gain the will of God for our lives, okay, we're going to grow. We're going to please God. We're going to produce good things, bearing fruit, the idea there. So, wow, that's what I wanted. I wanted to honor God. I wanted to please God. I wanted to be productive for eternal things, not just productive for things on planet, but those things are important. I'm ambitious, though. How can my ambition be for God, right? How can my life be used for Him? How can I make a difference beyond just the planet here? And so that was what I was striving for. It was a drive. Here was my fear. My fear was I would get to a place when I'm 60 years old. Okay, I just turned 60, so. And I would look back, and I'd be on this hill that I've, you know, this is my accomplishment of life. It's like I look down and I'm going, uh-oh, I've been climbing the wrong hill my whole life. I've been doing my will without reference to God's and what God maybe wanted to see my life used for honoring Him. That's what I was afraid of. I was driven, therefore, to dig in, figure out, God, what is your will? Okay? And you know, there's so much of God's will that's general and more or less it could be applied to you or to me. We would understand that. But I needed to know that for me, as well as how would that work out with my specific giftings and abilities and education and circumstance of life and location, all those other factors. How would God's will that I knew from here work within my life for what He might be able to do for me or for you? You got to ask that for yourself. How does that work out? And so this is a scripture that is one that was important to me. It's the Ephesians 5:1. It should be there as well, I think. Be careful then. Be careful then how you live. That's what God's telling us right here. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do we live in some evil days today? My goodness. What just happened over the past two or three days? Horrific events going on. Everybody's aware of what happened back in Pittsburgh yesterday morning at that synagogue. What is it, up to 14 people now that have... Evil days. And so there's evil days back then when this was written, but 2,000 years later, we can identify. We can understand evil days too, can we not? And so make the most of every opportunity is what God's telling you today and me today. Because the days are evil, therefore, what does this bring us to a conclusion of? Therefore, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish. That's a big wisdom. Don't be foolish. You can be wise, make the most of every opportunity, or you can be foolish. Now, the days are evil. They're going to be impacting us. We got some choices to make. So don't be foolish, but here's what you're to do. Understand what the Lord's will is. Extremely impacting to my life, friends. And I suggest it needs to be for everybody's life. Understanding what the Lord's will is. Now I'm going to put three statements up here about what I understand the Lord's will is. And these would encompass every single human event that you could think of on the planet that's happened. Okay, because God's ultimately in control of everything in the world. Look at these three statements. The first one is, it'll be on the next slide. First one is, God desires and God decides. This is God's will. God desires and God decides. Well, what's that? God desired to create the world. And he decided, or he caused it all to be created. You didn't have any choice in that, by the way. Nor did I, right? God created everything. It's what he did. So there was this fall of humanity that happened with Adam and Eve's sin. And then God said, I desire to create a plan of redemption, reconciliation, to bring people back to me because they've fallen and they're going to go and die and they won't be with me ever again then. So I need to create a plan of redemption, and he caused it, or he decided that that would happen. And it did. We don't have any choice in that. He created that plan of salvation, plan of redemption, reconciliation, whatever you want to do, right? We could participate in it, but he's got the plan. It's set up from even before he created everything. He had this foreknowledge, all this kind of stuff would happen. God desires, and God decides. He causes some things to happen, right? That's in the will of God. Then the second one is God desires and man decides. God desires and man decides. This would be God holds out this gift of an eternal life for us. He says, here's Jesus Christ. Trust in him for your eternal life. And then that's his desire that we would, right? But we decide. God desires us to live holy, to be sanctified, that sense, right? To be a part and to do some right things. But we decide. He desires it. This is no different than for your kids. You desire things for your kids, if you have kids. Got a new baby right back here. Just a week old, 2 weeks old? 2.5 weeks old? Congratulations. You two have some desires for that little girl, don't you? But she's going to have a lot of decisions to make that may not line up perfectly with your desires. Yeah, don't want to listen to that right now, I know. But those, take it from some of us that are a little older in life, right? Look at all our heads. So that's the same thing. God made us with this response ability. We have the ability to respond. We have ability to make a choice. He didn't make us robots or puppets. You want that little girl to be able to love you with open arms and jump in your arms out of her own will, her own decision. That's what God did for us, made in his image. Wow. And so there's a whole gamut of things in here that this book talks about. The will of God, what God desires. Well, we have a choice as to whether we will align with that. We'll respond to that. It's always his desire is for our good. But will we respond? It's our decision, okay? And then the last one is man decides and God permits. And obviously man decides to sin and God permits sin. God permitted what happened yesterday morning back in Detroit. He permitted it. He permitted what Hitler did, what Mao did. He permits it because he's created a universe with certain laws. There's natural laws, the law of gravity. So if I go up here on the top of the roof, God save me, I'm just going to jump down, but, you know, no, the law, God abides in his laws. And so God says, here's a law. Don't murder anybody. But somebody murders somebody. There's a consequence for that then. It's their decision. God didn't cause the murder. No, this person caused the murder out of their decision. God's desire is that we would not murder anybody. Right? So we get that and understand that. So man decides in God's permit. There's a whole bunch of stuff that God, could I say it this way, doesn't really care about. I got up this morning and I wanted to make a choice of shirts. So I got down on my knees and I prayed, God, which shirt should I wear this morning? I mean, it's silly, it's stupid, isn't it? So I'm just saying, there's a whole bunch of stuff that God doesn't care. God doesn't care what kind of car you drive. You might, but God doesn't, right? He doesn't care. There's certain things in life that God just, you know, okay, so decide. You know, that's not. So we gotta get past that, because sometimes people will get into this thing of everything's so subjective and that God has to, you be involved in every tiny little decision. Well, he is in a bigger way. We don't want to do anything immoral. We don't want to do anything that's against his standards of morality or law like that. But there's all kinds of decisions we can make day to day in our daily living that God doesn't, it doesn't matter to him whether you live in this house or that house. It may not even matter whether you live in that country or that town or this other town or what have you. It's just, what matters? Well, here's the heart. Here's the very heart of God's will. There's a couple of scriptures. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient. So God's really enduring. The patience is long-suffering. God's suffering a long time to wait as long as he can before he brings about the conclusion or the end to our temporary life on the planet. Not wanting, here's the deal, he's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's not wanting, he's not willing for, he's not desiring anybody to perish, anyone, anywhere, but everyone, everyone, everywhere to come to repentance. That's God's heart of his will. That's the very heart of his will. You get that done, and a lot of other things, you know, they pale in comparison as to what kind of job, perhaps, or what kind of, you know, he's got some desires. He wants us to do some things right, but there's a lot of things that just come right back down to, this is the most important thing in the heart of God. This is the heart of God's will. This is why this book was written. It's a story of a search and rescue, love story to reach us, to take us beyond this life to the bigger one, the bigger life. It's the eternal one. This is the short one. This is the finite one. This is the temporary one. This is the one that's passing fast. And so get prepared. Live this life in light of the next, because that's the best one. That's the biggest one. That's the one where it's forever. That there's no Satan up there. There's no sinners up there. There's no sin. We'll live in an incorruptible body, immortal body. It's our ultimate redemption story. Wow. It's just amazing. So that's what God wants. Look at the next scripture. This is good and pleases God our Savior that we'd pray into this. Who wants? Look what that says, though. Who wants? That is, who wills, who desires, whose intentions are for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All people to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. This is God's will at its heart. This is what God is pursuing most on the earth. This is what God wants to make sure happen in everybody's life. These things are core. This is what we're about, knowing Jesus, which is coming to that place of knowing we're saved, and then making him known to everybody as we can as a church. Wow. So goals out of this, God's will would be, we want to be with Jesus in companionship, relationship, abiding in the vine, that kind of imagery, and then be like Jesus. We want to live with a character conduct that brings blessing. And so Jesus is our model for that, and we have the scriptures that teach that as well. So I've found two best ways to determine God's will. Two best ways. And these are the only write-ins, I think, on your notes. If you want to write them in, you can. The first one is know your Bible. Know your Bible. Why? Because the Bible contains the revelation of God's will. It contains the revelation of God's will. That's one of the reasons why it's so amazing. We get to know the creator of the universe and what his intention is, what his desire is, what his will, we say, is. It's amazing. It's found in here. And so to know it means to learn it, to study it, if you want to call it that. You read it. You get acquainted with it. So, like the Gospel Project, the Bible Project, the videos that was initiated here, you can learn the Bible through some of those means. It's just a tool we can use online, which can be very helpful in our day and age. I have a guy, Jim, here. I don't know if Jim's still, but he listens to the Bible as opposed to read it. And a lot of guys like to do that. It's easier, and then he does it while he's walking here and there or working out or whatever. He's listening to the Bible, so we're taking it in. He's learning some of God's will for his life. So we're going to get the Bible in us. Look at what this verse says in Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This transformation is like the transformation that a butterfly has to go through in order to come out in full bloom as a butterfly. It's that kind of a transformation. Metamorphosis is the word. So what that happens with the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind happens from the content of the Bible getting inside of here. So this is, the Bible is active. It's powerful. It's like taking an active ingredient you put into your body, you swallow it. The Bible's active like that. It'll work on us. It'll help us. It'll grow us. We'll understand some things. So then you're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so here's an example. When I was going in my early 20s, I was pretty, you know, type A driven. I was going to make it. And, you know, I was doing all this stuff to try to just make money and all that business. And I was just driven. And one of the things I learned as I got into the Bible, I learned about the generosity that's contained in the Bible. First and foremost, the generosity of God. God is incredibly generous. Then I learned about the generosity of the people of God. And I was absolutely amazed. I had never experienced that myself. So it transformed me from a greedy perspective to grow into a generous perspective. And never arrived necessarily, but it's just been an amazing thing. Next week I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to tell a little bit of my story about what God did to me in this new series we have called Lift. How can we help other people? How can we lift other lives around us as well as our own? And one of the key ways, practically speaking, we can do that is through generosity. Generosity has love written all over it, is what I found. For God so loved the world, he gave. Wow. And I start to, that just kind of downloads deep within a person. And it changes a lot in our lives. Well, anyway, I don't want to go into that whole thing today, but I just invite you to come. But that's what learning the Bible, one thing it did for me. One thing. Second thing, okay, listen to God's people who know the Bible. Listen to God's people who know the Bible. So it's important to listen to, if we're going to get wisdom about making choices, knowing God's will, listen to people who know God's will and maybe have some experience in making choices under God's will. They can help us. So before I got married to Lori, some 32 some years ago, right? So I went to some people and said, what do you think about this gal? You know, it's like, I was went to some people in the church. I was like, well, should I marry Lori? And they said, you better get her before somebody else doesn't. Before somebody else gets her, you know. So like, go after her, yes. You know, it's like, but I wanted some affirmation, confirmation. I wanted some more of, is there anything I'm violating in, you know, I was just looking for that. When I had to make a career change to go from sales and the moving and storage industry into the pastoral ministry, I went to some people was confident that they had understood God's will fairly well out of the Word. They were people of the book. And so I thought, hey, what do you think? And so that was very helpful to me. So God ordains teachers and preachers and pastors, ministers to help us to process the very Word of God, which contains the very will of God for our lives. And again, friends, the Bible is amazing. Because it contains the very will of God for this, for all of life, including your personal life. Okay? And so I pray that you would know the will of God and be filled with the knowledge of God, and that you would stand in his will for your life. You'll never regret that. As a church, that's our goal, to do God's will, to know Jesus, and to make him known. And so I'm going to have just a word of prayer. We're going to have a final song. I think we can fit that in. Thank you. And then we'll dismiss ourselves following that. If you would like any help in processing this message, there's the connection cards we have available to you. You can write something on the back to me. There's some places you can check boxes if you want to do that, or put in a prayer request. But hearing back from you in a responsive way kind of every Sunday, that gives you that opportunity to, if you'd like to. Oh God, we want to praise you again on this Sunday. Our desire, God, our will is that you would be pleased and that oh God, you would have been able to communicate some of your will to us even today, and that, God, we would be people that would stand in your will and extend the knowledge of it through your word, through making Jesus the most important part of your will for our lives known. God, may you continue to have your way, your will in our lives done. Again, thank you for Jesus, who submitted his will to yours, that we could even be here today and honor you like this. In his name we pray. Amen.